Welcome back to Silk Flowers
and Paper Mache Hearts. We are your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We've been gone for a bit due to lovely Hurricane Florence on the East Coast, but we are back and running.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a planned break and a little bit of an unplanned break because it kind of went on an extra week longer than we thought it would.
But we're back.
Yes, we're excited. We have a whole bunch of episodes coming up, and today we're talking about fake food.
Yeah, we're not talking about decorative food or anything, but we're talking about food that the actors actually consume on stage. And as most of us know, some actors have allergies or restrictions that prevent us from giving them the actual real food. So we're going to talk about some substitutions and everything.
Yeah, and also not to mention, some food is just too time consuming and too expensive to be putting out on stage. And so we're trying to find something that you could actually fix, you know, in the back room of the theater where there's maybe a hot plate, a microwave if you're lucky, that sort of thing. I remember my first professional job was kind of the first time I saw this idea because we didn't really do it in college, but we were doing a show and somebody had to eat a steak dinner. And so the props person had a piece of pumpernickel with the crusts cut off and then a can of cold gravy that he poured on top of that. And then I think some instant mashed potatoes, which might have actually been microwaved slightly, so it was warm. But I just remember it being, you know, the absolute grossest thing I'd ever seen. And this poor actor had to eat it every show, eight times a week, the whole thing. But it was definitely really interesting to see that and learn that. And I've been interested to see all the different ways we kind of mimic food on stage that actors eat.
It's very interesting because I feel that more and more plays are wanting food.
Mm-hmm.
Directors are wanting to watch actors eat.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all aware that everybody has dietary restrictions and everything. So we're always kind of jumping through hoops to figure out what needs to work. I don't really remember, honestly, the first time that I worked with food on set. I'm trying to think of a time. I mean, I've done it in the past. I just don't remember really the first time that I had to deal with that. But I do know every single time I've had to, there's been a gluten-free actor. Every time.
Yeah. And I know the trickiest thing is when you have like food that needs to be shared amongst actors and they sort of have, you know, this matrix of overlapping allergies. So one person's gluten-free, one person is dairy-free, one person doesn't want artificial colors or sweeteners, you know, one person has nut allergies, and you need, you know, and you need to make like wheat nut bread with butter on it for all of them to eat. And so you're trying to figure out like how to make that look right without any of the actual ingredients that you used to look. As a props person, whenever there's going to be food, I try to just get the full range of actor allergies and actor preferences. And, you know, actor allergies are like a line in the sand you can't cross. You have to avoid them. Actor preferences, correct, as much as possible, I try to avoid them. And sometimes if it's really not possible, you know, you could kind of figure out a way around it. Maybe like, you know, if they don't like mushrooms, but you have to put mushrooms in the stew, maybe you can like separate the mushrooms out in their bowl, or maybe they could block it so that they just eat around the mushrooms or something like that. It's not always possible, but I always, you know, I try to do it. But yeah, the gluten one is definitely, that's always been a big one. But I found, you know, it's so much easier to get gluten-free options now than it was even like 10 years ago or even like 5 years ago, because you had to like order it online and it tasted horrible and it looked horrible. And nowadays you could get like good tasting stuff from Walmart. I mean, it's, you know, it's ridiculous now. So that's come a long way.
Yeah, it's quite insane. And this past year at Yale, we did a show where an actor had to eat rabbit on stage, and obviously we weren't going to go and buy him rabbit. Luckily, he wasn't a vegetarian or anything, or that would have been, you know, more of a time-consuming project. But he was gluten-free, and we're thinking, well, that's fine, it's chicken. But what we didn't realize was some of the prepackaged chicken that you just throw in the microwave for 10 seconds actually had gluten on it because of how it was cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first we're thinking, oh, you know, we'll just go get some pre-cooked chicken with nothing on it, no mm-hmm. breading or anything, you know, not a problem. But then we started looking and we're realizing, oh, this actually isn't gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, we were actually able to find gluten-free chicken at Target
mm-hmm.
that you just heat it up. And we actually found a couple options. But it did definitely take a moment to kind of reading all the ingredients and seeing if it was labeled gluten-free and all that jazz. But that was kind of just an interesting discovery. Because mm-hmm. you would think, oh, that's fine. But you've got to think, how was it prepared? You know,
right,
there could have been things in it. Another thing that we always would do testing for the actors. And mm-hmm. I think this is very important for people to do. Sometimes, you know, you only have one option and you're kind of like, sorry, this probably isn't going to be the best tasting, but with your mm-hmm. allergies and their allergies and this and that, what the director wants, this is kind of the best solution. But if you can get one or two options or three, and just having a meeting during rehearsal with all the actors involved and the director as well, and taste everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, you're kind of reassuring the actors that, you know, we've done some research. We do care about what it tastes like to you. We don't want to just give you something and you just deal with it. So it kind of makes them feel a little bit better. It also gives the director some options on how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain foods that you purchase, for example, the gluten-free chicken, came in different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So now it was about the taste, but also how big do we want this to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was also supposed to replicate rabbit. So it wouldn't be huge, huge chunks, you
know? Right, yeah.
And some of them had grill marks on them, and others didn't. Some were a little bit darker. So it did multiple things in that testing meeting that I always suggest to just do because it makes everybody feel happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And you never know, like, what kind of reaction they're going to have to it. We were doing Timon of Athens, and it was Richard Thomas was playing the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, at one point he has to eat a root. And so we're looking mm-hmm. for, like, something that looks like a root. And, you know, most mm-hmm. roots, you can't actually eat raw. You have to cook them.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at, and the director wanted something really gnarly. Like, I mean, he wanted something that had, like, dirt and stuff sticking on it, if that was at all possible. So I'm trying to find something that looked right. Luckily, in New York City, you could check out all these different, you know, specialty stores and places like that. But it was a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so I brought a bunch of things in for them to look at. And, you know, I actually forget the name of the root that they liked the most.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like semi-medicinal, but you could take a bite of it raw. I tried it. Mm-hmm. It tasted absolutely horrible. So I'm like, okay, so I know this looks good, but it tastes absolutely horrible. So just be ready before you take a bite. And so he took a bite. Giant bite, and he's like, oh, this is great, this is perfect. And the director's like, wonderful, that looks really good too, let's do that. The next day for rehearsal, Richard Thomas comes in and he's like, my mouth is completely numb, we can't use that root.
Oh no.
Luckily, like, it wore off by the end of the day, but it's like, oh my god, I almost killed Richard Thomas. So, yeah, we ended up going with, we were finding these, like, oversized purple carrots, which you could get, like, the organic ones, so they look kind of mm-hmm. lumpy, and they're purple and all that, and that's fine. But, yeah, that was a trick because, you know, it's something that's normally not edible, and you're trying to find something to fit it, you know.
To make it edible, yeah. And sometimes it can be the polar opposite and be just very simple
mm-hmm.
and just be like yogurt, which, I mean, it can be complicated if they have dietary restrictions. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when it's a food that you know you can just go out and buy,
yeah,
I always like to just ask the actor, you know, do you have a preference on yogurt? Do you have dietary restrictions? Do you eat yogurt in real life? What yogurt do you eat?
Right.
And if they say, oh, I Yoplait Greek yogurt, I like the blueberry ones, you're like, mm-hmm. great. I don't have to spend hours trying to find you the right yogurt because you just told me.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people forget just to ask them.
Because
I've been in productions where people have spent time and money on options and the actor's like, I don't like this. I don't like this. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, they're like, you know, I really just like this brand. Can you just get that? And everybody's like, well, why didn't you just say that?
Right.
Well, nobody asked.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the actor's going to be eating it every day, you know, seven to eight times a week for multiple weeks. And they potentially could get very sick of it. A lot of times actors don't like to eat their favorite food during a show because they don't want to grow to hate their favorite food.
True. That's so true. It's dependent on which actor.
You know, you think, oh, I'll give them something that tastes really good, when actually they want something that tastes basically really bland, not horrible, you know, just on the good side of bland so that they don't get sick of it, you know? So like, you know, the substituting bread for meat is actually good because it's like, I could eat bread every day. Most people can eat bread every day. It's
going to be fine. And it also is easier to chew on stage because you're going to have a line right after you put that in your mouth, you know?
Right.
Makes it easier.
So many times we've done, you know, we sort of do these food rehearsals and it's like, we need something that they could eat that disappears in their mouth fast. But also they, you know, they want it to disappear from their plate. They can't just like not eat it. So it's like, what looks like a lot of food, but disappears in your mouth really fast. We did, we were doing Arms and the Man, and there's a box of chocolates in it. And so they need to eat a couple pieces of chocolate, but they also have all these lines. So it's like, you're not going to have the dark chocolate, super nougat filled, decorative kind of chocolates.
Inside.
Yeah, caramel and nuts and all that, toffee and things like that. I was trying to find like, you know, what's the least, you know, the quickest dissolving ones. And I was finding, there's like Nestle Aero, which is kind of like a foamed chocolate. Oh,
that is my favorite chocolate, by the way.
Yeah.
When I was in Ireland, I would have it every single day on my break.
I know. It's weirdly like it's not in the United States. You find it in the international aisle because it's more British, UK sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's very
soft.
Yeah. They ended up going with, I think, cherry cordials because those actually like they, you know, they break apart really fast. It's just a shell of chocolate. Mm-hmm. And since the inside is so liquidy, it actually like they could swallow it pretty quick and get rid
of
it
pretty
quick.
That makes sense.
But yeah, just trying to get rid of the food. I know. I think it's Hello Dolly is the kind of perennial favorite of food to get rid of. She's eating all those dumplings in a row and she's just got to get rid of them. And there's so many like urban legends of what they used on Broadway. Everybody's always bringing up like, I heard they used this. I heard they used that. And it's like, what did they actually use?
Yeah.
I think they actually used like paper and she, you know, she crumpled it in her mouth and spit it out.
Is people say that though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the funniest part. People are like, oh, it's just crumpled up paper that she just throws in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, then where does it go? I don't think Bernadette Peters is eating paper on Broadway, people.
Right.
Or Bette Midler.
Yeah. I think the story was she like wipes her face with the napkin and throws it away or something.
Yeah.
But other people say like
that,
it's a meringue, you know? It's something light and fluffy and disappears, but
yeah, like cotton candy, but then that's like so much sugar.
I know, you're getting that much sugar and
And it's always interesting because even though we'll go through this whole process of trying to find the perfect food for the actors, you can slowly see how less and less they eat their food throughout the run.
Right, yeah.
Because I've noticed with some shows, some actors, you know, the first night they're eating everything. And that last night, just a little nibble and then they're done.
And sometimes you have the opposite where that you find something they really, really like. And so they're eating it like crazy throughout tech because they're up there on stage for like 8 hours in the food scene. And they're just like, we need more crackers. We need more crackers. Like,
I think the
whole consumables budget for the run of the show.
I think that is my biggest pet peeve out of anything in props. I think it is actors eating their food when they're not acting.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm just providing you snacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, I can't do that. We don't have the money.
Right.
But I mean, almost every show, there's always that one actor that's like, oh, I'll just start eating these grapes here while we're on a 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back and be like, oh, there's no more grapes.
Right.
And you're like, come on. Come on, let's be a little professional here.
Yeah.
And I mean, just many, many actors do that. And I understand, you know, it's food. It's right there. Your instinct is to eat it. But it's a prop. Let's keep in mind, you know.
And hopefully it's never the crew that's eating the food.
Oh, that is.
That is like unforgivable. It's like, that's not food. At the end of the show. At the end of the show. There's definitely some shows it's where it's like,
eat it all. Eat it all, everybody.
You got something that's perishable, and it's like, somebody's got to take home this, you know, rotisserie chicken at the end of every day.
And you're like, I volunteer as tribute?
Yeah, I do that a lot. I definitely like getting pre-cooked stuff, anything that's like, open the package and it's good to go. And so anything, especially when you need like a cooked meal, which is, you know, the worst. If, you know, get the rotisserie chicken at the supermarket or the bucket of fried chicken, like, you know, the cost difference is definitely more than preparing it yourself. But that time and that labor of preparing it and the space you need, and like, what if something goes wrong? And it's like, you could just, the last show I had fried chicken on, it was just gave, you know, a lump of petty cash to one of the ASMs, and they grabbed the bucket on their way in from the Walmart, and they were good to go. They didn't have to get there 3 hours early to start frying up some chicken, because it's hard to fake that too, you know. There's a lot of parts
it's
to that.
True. We actually had to have fried chicken in one of our shows a couple years ago, and it was a bucket of KFC chicken. Obviously, we didn't want to buy a bucket of chicken every single night, because the actor was taking a bite of chicken. By the end, I don't think she even took a bite. But we found some chicken in one of those Hungry Men Selects dinners. And so we would just take the dark meat chicken out, only the dark meat, of course. That was just an actor preference. And then the rest was like, all right, guess we have lunch for tomorrow. Because, I mean, it's just going to be for a waste. And it was very costly to get, you know, these dinners for every single night just for that one piece of chicken. But unfortunately, that's the one that the actor liked, and that's the one she wanted to use. And sometimes it kind of does go down to, well, it's the more expensive choice. But if we're the type that we're going to cater to the actor 100%, then we've got to go with that choice. And it definitely saved time for sure when having it that way. Yeah, I remember we had so many frozen dinners in our freezer. And every day we're like, well, let's just have this for lunch. This was from last night's show.
Yeah, speaking of catering, sometimes I've never done a show. Well, I've never had to set it up, but there I've known people who have like gotten a local restaurant or local baker or something to kind of make items for the show, and then you just sort of pick it up on a weekly or semi-weekly basis. We were doing
well, Whole Foods will do that.
We were doing
Whole Foods does that. Yeah,
Bloody Andrew Jackson, and there was they wanted Twinkies, but the people, the actors eating them were, I want to say they were vegan. And also they wanted to avoid, you know, artificial sweeteners and things like that. Everything that makes up a Twinkie, basically. but it being New York, they found a baker who did all, who would custom make all natural gluten-free Twinkies. You know, these confectionery items that looked like Twinkies from the States.
Oh my goodness.
You know, they worked it out with them, for the run of the show, how many they needed, when they could pick them up, you know, how often they pick them up. And so I think it was like twice a week or something. Somebody would go down, pick up a batch of Twinkies and bring them in. And, you know, it was like they were paying them to do it and also gave them some credit in the program. So it was a nice sort of like mutual arrangement. But like there was no way the crew was going to be making Twinkies every night, you know, there with a squeeze bottle squirting whipped cream inside of something, or, you know, how else do you want to solve that problem other than just having, you know,
it would be a nightmare.
It's so great just being able to like go somewhere and you pick up every Twinkie you need for the whole week.
Yeah. It's just so much easier. It's just so much easier. But then unfortunately there are times where you do have to cook the item from scratch for the actor, because one, it's not available locally, or you can't have it shipped to you, or it's a very, very specific diet that the actor has. And that really cuts into the prop runner's pre-show setup. And I mean, I don't remember what show it was, or honestly what the food was, but I do remember one of our props runners had to get to the theater like an hour and a half before her normal call time.
Oh, yeah.
So she could cook whatever right. it was for the actor.
Yeah.
And then, of course, by the time the food was on stage, it was cold. So mm-hmm. she also had to take time during the show to warm it up
mm-hmm.
for this like 2 minute bit.
Right. Yeah. That's rough. And then she's at yeah. the theater by herself just cooking.
And then she like has to clean up afterwards. Yeah. Oh, you know, it's yeah. not a normal preset everything. Do mm-hmm. a few dishes. It's like, all right, now let's scoop the rest of this up, put it in right. a tub for tomorrow. You know,
yeah.
becomes a big, big ordeal mm-hmm. that people, I think, I don't want to say people don't realize that it's can be a huge production in itself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, some of the requests, it's kind of like, yeah. have we thought how much time this is going to take for our right. crew?
Not yeah. a, you know. If you don't address that early on, it could surprise you later yeah. and you're not prepared yeah. for it. We did yeah. do Crimes of the Heart is one where there's a full birthday cake at the end. And it's like oh, custom right. birthday cake with her name mm-hmm. on it and all that sort of thing. And so we, you know, we were needing to basically make a full cake every week because we would that we had a fake cake that we would put the edible portion into. So I yeah. think, you know, we do 7 shows a week. So we divided the cake up into 7s. And so you cook one cake, you bake one cake every week and it lasts for the whole week. So we actually hired a separate overhire because, you know, making a cake is like 3 to 4 hours or something. And we couldn't yeah. have the run crew doing that. But we also couldn't do it in the shop because we're working on the next show. So we brought in a separate overhire who came in. I think she actually came in twice a week and would work mm-hmm. just on cake. So like 4 hour oh, wow. blocks twice a week, making cakes, getting it all prepped. Because we had, you know, we also had multiple ones just so on 2 show days, they didn't, you know, they didn't have to reset it or something. So
wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was, and you know, luckily, we thought about it ahead of time and worked it out with production management to make sure that mm-hmm. we kept room in the budget to allow, you know, this person, this sort of extra crew, sort of extra shop person, you know, in the middle kind of area that she could be paid for the run of the show to do this work.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also a lot of typical, I guess, tricks you could say that mm-hmm. a lot of props people use. For example, using bananas as a base or mm-hmm. instant mashed potatoes. I know in the past, I have not used this, but I know of somebody who has done this in the past, that they used mashed potatoes to actually replicate fish.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to have real fish on stage.
Right.
Even if the actors love fish, mm-hmm. that's going to smell.
Right.
Everybody's going to be sad. Mm-hmm. You just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But so you can take mashed potatoes and kind of squish it into a fish formation.
Right.
And if you want to add little grill marks or something like that, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But from afar, it replicates the idea that they're eating fish without them actually having to consume that and smell it.
Yeah. It's like a good sort of sculpting medium and you're just mm-hmm. making this stuff out of it. And then, yeah. you know, you got your food coloring and you got like spray food coloring as well, so you could like paint it after the fact, you know, spritz some red on it, some pink, or spritz some, you know, whatever color you need on it, or whatever toppings you need on it, something, give it a skin mm-hmm. or something, and it's just the inside, it's that white potato that looks like a whole variety of food from the audience.
Exactly, exactly. And another favorite trick is making steak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you ever done this one before, Eric?
I haven't.
I've been wanting to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard great things. And what it is, well, one, having steak on stage, I mean, yeah, that sounds fun, but mm-hmm. that's a lot to chew for mm-hmm. an actor. And if the director wants it gone within 5 sentences, you know, it's going to be a lot. some props people started doing this a while ago. I feel like this trick has been out for mm-hmm. years.
Right.
But taking watermelon and just mm-hmm. cutting it into a size of a steak or whatever your meat is, and just taking food coloring, brown food coloring, putting it over it mm-hmm. to kind of make it look like it's been cooked, and how much you want on it to kind of show, do you want it to be a rare steak or medium rare or well done? Because then when you cut into it, it still has the pink inside.
Right.
If you've only put a little bit of food coloring, which is really clever.
And it's juicy too. You know, it's like it's acting like steak as you cut it, which is really great. There was some Facebook video going around where they were doing grilled watermelon and it looked like steak. They were putting slices of watermelon on the grill and grilling it. So it looked like steak, you know, on the outside. And then when they cut it, and all the comments from props people were like, yeah, we already do this. I mean, usually they're just doing the food color and you're not like grilling up watermelon back there. But if you want those grill marks, maybe that's, you really shouldn't grill inside.
Kind of goes against our codes here.
we have a lot of tricks for drinks too. You know, this is kind of this is one of everybody's kind of favorite topics. I remember reading a while ago that back in Shakespeare's time, they actually would burn toast and then scrape that off into the drink. And that's how they would make like whiskey and other dark drinks. And this was like an old Shakespearean theater trick.
I wonder how awful that tasted.
It probably tasted incredibly awful. And I would imagine you would kind of like choke on it a bit too if the crumbs were too big. But, you know, that burnt toast is basically like what caramel color is. So that's you know, true. Nowadays we use caramel color, which is not gritty and not tasting like burnt toast. But it's essentially something that's been burnt. But that's like the basis for almost every kind of drink. You know, you need Coca-Cola, you need whiskey, you need bourbon. Coffee. Yeah, coffee. You could just put some caramel color in. And then you got a flavorless liquid. But of course, some actors like that. Other actors want there to be flavor because they don't like drinking water. Yeah. Or if it looks like it's not water, they get weirded out when it tastes like water. Like, they're fine drinking water, but when it's supposed to be something else, their brain tricks them and then it tastes worse than it actually is. So sometimes, an actor could be fine with a flavorless liquid in one show, but then in another show, for whatever reason, they're not fine with it. So you're always like, you know, do you want food coloring or do you want flat Coke or do you want, you know, decaf coffee or do you, you know, something like that.
Yeah. It's hard because each actor is very different, obviously, and how they act, their technique is usually pretty different from one another. So little things like the taste of a liquid versus it being fizzy or flat or tasting like water but looking like coffee can trigger them into a different mindset when they're acting and kind of throw them off a bit. And I think that's why a lot of actors like it to be plain for their food or nothing fizzy for their drinks because it doesn't distract them. It's just an action that they're doing. But then others are like, no, I want to taste this nasty food because I'm supposed to react like it's nasty, you know? So that's also a thing to ask the actor before you go through testing and researching and stuff of, do you want to taste something strong? Do you care? Do you have a preference? And I know for me, if I'm drinking something that looks like coffee or pop or something and it tastes like water, every time I'm going to freak out and be like, oh, that's not what that's like when you take a drink of a root beer, but it's actually a Pepsi, but you're expecting that root beer taste, you know, something it's like that.
Eat a Skittle and you thought it was an M&M. And like even good actors, like it's hard to mask that. So you could be watching like tech or a dress rehearsal and the actor is trying their hardest, but there's just the slightest little grimace every time they take a bite and they don't really take any bites. And then they have all this dialogue about how delicious this feast is and how they can't stop eating. It's like, all right, we're going to have to find something different because we know you're trying, but it's not working. You don't have to force yourself.
Like that. Yeah. Some actors are really sweet and they're not going to tell you at all. They're going to be like, this is great. Thank you so much. But on their face, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to puke if I eat one more bite. You know? So that's another thing. Like, yes, you can ask. They might tell you it's great. You got to watch them because that'll tell you more than anything for sure.
And really, like, you should try it first, you know, before you give an actor any food. You should eat it. So at least they have some, like, when they ask, what's it taste like? It could be like, meh, kind of bad, but it's bland. Or it's like, actually, it's a lot sweeter than I thought it would be. Or, you know, this says it disappears in my mouth really fast, which is really great.
And they will ask those questions, too, when you give them food. They're like, well, what do you think? Do you like this? Or, yada, yada, yada. Or, oh, this tastes kind of strange. Did you think that tasted strange too?
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't want to give them something that tastes absolutely horrific.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you're like, this is the most disgusting thing in the whole entire world, mm-hmm. you don't want to be like, here, actor, right, tastes good. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. So cool. I think that's a lot of good stuff about food. We didn't get into, like, food safety and preparation and all that backstage, which is a whole other topic
that we very have to save
for another day. Yeah.
One thing I will say on that is I have seen people prep food without washing their hands. And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm fine. Or little things like that
right.
bothers me so much.
Washing dishes in the paint sink.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing, guys, actors sometimes can see, you know, if your prop kitchen is backstage mm-hmm. or somewhere, you know, they might peek around the corner mm-hmm. when you're prepping your food. They're going to take notice of what you're doing, right. what you're using, where you're doing it at, and they will be affected.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, it doesn't look clean over there. I don't want to touch this now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, that is a whole other episode that we could do.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you for listening this week. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache and email us with any questions or ideas at propspodcast@gmail.com.
And subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. This has been another episode of Silk Flowers
and Paper Mache Hearts
with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next time.
Bye.